Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad you could join us. Before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for giving us your grace, Lord, and the ability and the opportunity to be obedient to your Word, Lord. Lord, I also thank you for helping us to develop our relationship with you, Lord, and helping us to mature inside of you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, we pray, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We're so thankful, Lord, to have you with us and to continue our study of the Word and specifically in 2 Thessalonians together. This morning, we are still in chapter 1, covering verses 1 through 8. So whether you're joining us for the first time or you're rejoining us, I want to encourage you to go ahead and pause the episode at this time and just give yourself the opportunity to read through that section of scripture and allow things to be easier in you following along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So the floor is now open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right. Promise?
We left off in the previous episode. Well, we began the previous episode talking about how that patience and what it is and how it allows us to grow inside of God. And the Lord was reminding me of how that patience comes from love. And also 1 Corinthians 13. I believe 13. Let me flip there. But it says of. Let me flip there. Yes, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abide faith, hope, love of these three, but the greatest of these three of these is love. Okay. Now that we have that basis, we can see that we've been talking about power. We left off the previous episode talking about how we should not be waiting for God to smite people or trying to rush the Lord to revenge or to avenge us, but we should be walking in complete love towards our neighbors. And we can... Yes, and faith and, sorry, not faith, patience and love helps us to direct and also gives us the ability to actually walk forward in that power. And the Lord has already given us the power and He's ready and willing to do it, but if we have no love for that person, if we're trying to manipulate it and try to twist it so it suits our purposes or gratifies our flesh, then it's not going to do anything, because God only wants to save mankind, not to destroy it. As in, God will judge people, but His purpose is not to destroy them.
Amen. He wants to save them. That's His preference. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Lord clearly states that in the Gospels. So humans are only going to be subject to hell if they insist upon going there.
Yes.
By rejecting the Lord and Savior. Okay?
Yes.
All right.
And how God's power is to accomplish that purpose. If we're trying to manipulate it, of course, that is disobedience and is classified as rebellion, because any disobedience is rebellion.
Any disobedience to the Lord.
Yes.
Is rebellion. So if there is a human being that is contrary to God and is insisting that you do wickedness and you say no, They may count that as rebelliousness, but God counts it as righteousness, right? We see that about the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. They would not worship that idol that was created. God didn't say, oh, you're disobeying him. You're rebellious. No, no, no. He acknowledged them and honored them as righteous. He counted that as righteousness. So just adding those, that clarifying distinguisher, because God does not want us to bow down to the whims of mankind when they say, oh, you better sin, and I'm going to make a law that forces you to sin. And believers should never feel like they are obligated or required to follow through with that. We are always under allegiance to our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father first, always, and forever and foremost. Okay?
Yes, Mommy.
All right. Carry on, my love.
And how, because God's power is for that, and when we apply God's love and patience that God is building up in us, we are able to direct that power in such a way that it has, one, the optimal effect, two, that it doesn't destroy the human, and three, that it destroys the work of the adversary, because that is ultimately our goal. Mommy, you brought up about how that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and we should be, our purpose on earth is to not propagate, but disperse the gospel abroad on the earth amongst men so that God is able to be glorified and also that mankind is able to be saved through the Lord. As in, that by God, by his power, mankind is able to be saved. Mm-hmm. That aside, when we allow God to first show us what our focus is, it provides a focus for us. If we have no faith and hope, if we lack focus in that manner, there's no power. An angry bull on ice. If there's no focus or no deliberate... because it's blind anger, it's going to slip. It's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's the same as if it's not walking. Mm-hmm. But if there's focus to that, the goal that is trying to achieve will be achieved. The same applies for being obedient to God's word. If we're not doing it from a place of love towards our Father, as in our Heavenly Father, and patience in his plan, then we're going to... Sorry.
I liked where you were going with
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. Angry bull on ice. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's powerful. Mm-hmm. A bull has all this potential. If he's got his horns, and they are capable of some mighty things.
They have speed. And there's just a power. There's agility.
There is so much potential power in that bull. However, if he's put on a plane that he cannot gain traction to use his speed, to use thrust, to get any momentum with those horns, he can't do anything with it. He's just trying to gain his balance, and he is totally rendered ineffective as a bull unless you get too close. Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So finish up what the Holy Spirit was saying to you in that.
Okay. When we allow the Lord to develop that focus, we are able to accomplish the destiny track and the plan that God has given us specifically as a human. We know that God has given us, every person, a specific destiny track and plan that is ultimately going to further the gospel. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to be obedient to that plan and to walk it forward, as in accomplish it.
To participate with it. Because the Lord is the one who's going to accomplish the work through us. He does the work, but we are to be intentional participants so that he can shine through us, he can work through us, he can reveal whatever he wants to through us, and ultimately he is able to enact and carry out through us everything that he wanted to do, or he wants to do.
Yes, and also bring us into his plan and bless us abundantly as we do it.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry not to be rude, but I'm not quite finished.
All right.
Okay, we'll continue, sir.
And how we can see Paul here, he's telling the Thessalonians to make sure that their focus is solely on God, not trying to avenge themselves or to try to force other people to acknowledge God. Mm-hmm. That is their own responsibility. God will show them his glory in his own manners, as in he has his own way of doing it, and his way will give them the result they're looking for, if Amen. They're fully submitted to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Amen.
To go with that promise, and something that the Lord was sharing me, looking at verse 3 for a minute, as it's fitting, I'm going to read that. Every one of you all abounds toward in love. Every one of you abounds towards each other. That's very important. He didn't say some of you abound in love and some of you can slack off. He didn't say none of you abound in love and none of you do the work. He said all of you, because that's his desire for all of his children. You're only a son, you know, or a daughter if you are doing and keeping the commandments of the Lord. And he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And this, all the law and the prophets will be fulfilled. So as we are looking at life, and I enjoyed your analogy about the charging bull, and something else that the Lord was speaking to me about that concerning what you were talking about was, the Lord gave us the strength and the potential. As you said, it wasn't to destroy other people. It wasn't to trample other people and hurt them because we had been injured or we feel they should suffer our wrath. That place is reserved only for the Father. And our job is to be that good Samaritan in Luke 10, that we bind the broken, that we clean their wounds, that we put them on our animal and we care for them and nurse them back into life in Christ, which is the commandment that he gave us for our other show, Discussing the Word. That's what we were supposed to be doing. We were supposed to be the Good Samaritan. There are plenty of people in this world already that can't be bothered with helping their brother, that can't be bothered with showing the love of God because they're too important. They are so pious and holy. Whatever their excuse is, just like the three that passed by the man who had been beaten by robbers, right? And they left him to bleed out and die on the side of the road. But the one who was quote-unquote considered a heathen because of his nationality was the one who took pity and had compassion on this man and cared for him. That's what our job is to in this world as well. We are the good Samaritan. We are the one that is helping or allowing ourselves to be vessels for the Father to work through so that other people have the opportunity to come back to life in him, because there is no life outside of him. There's only life in him. And so for the Thessalonians, and the Holy Spirit through Paul in this particular time is also teaching them not to be bitter, but to, again, as we read in 1 Thessalonians and in the Gospels, you love your neighbor as yourself. And sure, he strikes your first cheek, turn the other one to him. He compels you to bear his burden 1 mile, go with him too. Don't curse him, you bless him. Don't go to bed going smack. No, ask the Lord to get involved on your behalf, because he can turn any situation around and he can give you guidance on how you can succeed. You get everything that you need, and this individual or individuals have an opportunity to come to the Lord and to be saved themselves. So now, instead of remaining enemies, you can be reconciled to the Father and be reconciled to one another. And now we have more brothers and sisters coming into the kingdom, because we're also supposed to bring, help facilitate others' relationship with Christ. No, we aren't God and we never will be, and nor should we be, but he's given us a place and a role that for us so that we can be part of his plan, but we have to take it. And again, we've got to do the work. We can't sit in the corner sucking our thumbs with our little safety blanket and think we're going to get anything done. It's not going to happen.
Lily, you brought up an interesting point of how we are to be the good Samaritans. And you also brought up about how a lot of times other people think they're too good to fulfill that destiny or do that commandment. The Lord was also reminding me of how it's also, we cannot be the good Samaritan if we think we're not good enough. If we think we are not completely equipped. And we can see that Paul here is telling them that that God has already given them the instruments to go forward and do what God has asked them. Not that they're poorly equipped and barefooted practically and trying to scrimp by, but that they're well equipped for the assignment that God has given them. Mommy?
Amen. All right. I enjoyed that. And I just wanted to touch back to something that you said in the previous episode, Layla, when you're talking about the light, or maybe it was this one, the light under the basket.
That was the last one.
That was the last episode. Okay. It's important for us to remember that I did mention it earlier, that God is the one who does the work. And some earlier episodes in 1 Thessalonians promise you referenced a prism and how it is to, it doesn't generate the light. It's not the source of the light, but it refracts the light and it disperses it. It shines the light. So it's important that we understand that God is the source. He's the light. We're not making ourselves light because we have no power to do such a thing. It's the light of God in us that then we allow to shine through us so that others are blessed by it. Now, if God's pouring his light into us, right, we're made in the image of God in his likeness, and we have become or been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means our relationship with him, our willingness to follow Christ Jesus and making him our Lord and Savior has now opened up our inward man so that we receive the light of God and his light is dwelling in us. It's not our light that we generated in and of our own power, but it's in us. But we also have to choose to open the doors, open the windows, open the blinds, and let that light shine out. Open our mouth in a way that allows the love of God to come through. So it's intentionally walking with the Lord, intentionally letting his light shine through us so that he gets the glory because the light belongs to him. I think sometimes the way we word things, we are coming from a different place rather than willfully cooperating so God can shine through the way he wants to. We start trying to generate it and produce it of ourselves, and then it becomes a fleshly work, and then that light is not dispersed properly. So just making sure that we're doing the little things and fine-tuning that so we stay right on target with him and the adversary has no chance to push us off our place, which then again connects us to that word steadfast. It has the connotation to it, not just to standing there and just standing there forever and your hands are in your pocket and you're rocking back and forth on your feet and you're whistling and looking around at the clouds. There is a focus to this, and it's as though one is standing in a way, I'll say a fighting stance. Your feet are positioned with a shoulder width stance. Your knees are bent a little bit. And no matter what wind comes, you don't fall off the place that you're standing. If someone charges you and bumps you with their shoulder, you're not losing your ground, right? You're not going to tip over. You're not going to fall down. You're not going to relinquish the place that you're standing in, but you have a firm footing on that place. So keeping that in our minds, that's what the Lord is talking about there. And there's a continuation, a constancy that's contained in that word as well. Lastly, when it comes, we were talking about love and the power of the love of God. They were working really well in the brotherly love. They were very well cultivated in that. And there's a hint of Holy Spirit saying, you've just got the tip of the iceberg.
Amen.
The brotherly love you have is good. It's a first step because that's one of the hardest things to master. But there's so much more that comes with the power of the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. You see him coming in the earth. We witnessed that reading through the scriptures, the Messiah coming in the earth, and he wasn't coming in physical strength or boasting or a bigness, bravado in his personality, but he came what appeared to be weak and meek and mild and gentle on the outside. But the power of God in him was so dynamic. And what did we see expressed out of him and pouring out of him? It was the love of the Father. And when he walked in that, I mean, he always walked in the fullness of it, but because he walked in the fullness of the love of the Father, we saw him ruling over the powers of darkness. We saw him setting at liberty the captives. We saw him bringing the recovery of sight to the blind. We saw him raising up the lame so that they could walk. We saw him raising the dead. We saw him doing all of these things because the fullness of the power of God was allowed to have its perfect work and perfected domain in him. And that's what the power of God looks like and what it does. He operated in every gift of the Holy Spirit because Jesus did not limit Holy Spirit working through him. And he did not claim, dominion over that power to go, I'm doing this of myself. Look at me because I'm so great. Here I am. Behold me. He did not say that. He always remembered and pointed to. It's the Father doing the work. It's the Father doing the work. Remember Holy Spirit hovering over the waters in Genesis. He did not make one move, even though he's the Holy Spirit and he's God. He did not make one move on it until what happened?
The Lord spoke the
command. Till the Father spoke. And then he did what the Father said. So even in that, Holy Spirit takes of the Father and declares it unto us. So as we're looking at this and God is telling us to unwrap all of the power that is contained, because God is love, all of that power to unleash it and unwrap it so God can really work the way he wants to.
I love that you brought that up. It's exactly how we are called to move in love. You see this even in, especially, not even in, but especially in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ's earthly ministry. Constantly says throughout the Gospels that he was moved with compassion, right? Love is the hinge point for walking in the power, for the miracles. But also, it's not just a love for the people. It's a love for the Lord and to be pleasing in his sight, having that mindset of, well, what Jesus commanded his disciples, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Why? Because Jesus walked in his Father's love and demonstrated that.
Amen. And the love of God is more than cuddles and gooey, gooey feeling. It's everything that God is. It's righteousness. It's justice. It's faith, hope. It is healing power, restoration, reconciliation. God is love. It's the fullness of the Godhead. It's everything that God is. It's everything who he is.
It's what he is, what he can do. Moment.
All of that. All contained in this word love. So we're not talking about human love. We're talking about the God kind of love that always does what's right when it's required. And it comes with potency, the ability and the strength to carry out change, whatever change is needed, whatever healing, restoration, reconciliation, destroying the works of the devil, whatever the liberation of the captives, whatever is needed, recovery, he's got it. His love does all of that because he's love.
So his love is also his focus, right? That's what was said. The destiny track, the plan, his will, and the covenant that he has with you. If you, if is the key word there. If you choose to enter into that with him. And I encourage you to do so. But we're going to pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, promise.
Lord, I thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for teaching us your word, Lord. And putting people inside of our lives, Lord, who will encourage us to become great inside of you, Lord. Lord, I also thank you for being our Father, Lord, and giving us the example and showing us how we should interact with you, Lord, in order to receive your benefits, Lord, and accomplish your plan and be a part of your plan. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.